Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
And a Friday, September the 11th, 2020. Paul Iander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant. She is Lindsey Brown.
Hello, Paulito.
And hello, Lindsey. And we are getting all of you ready and getting ourselves ready for a fairly large and in charge sports weekend. There's no baseball tonight, so we don't have to push the Dodgers on you until the weekend, where
that's
they have
true.
Two night games, both 5 o'clock games, national TV here on CBS Sports Radio 1140 over the weekend.
We need a breather, though. We had the Equinox last night for the first time, so
right?
We have to reload.
Yeah, I went all four last night.
Did you?
I did the four big ones. I missed out on the Aces, unfortunately. They played last night. They play again. They close out their season, actually, tomorrow.
Really?
So I may get in on the second Equinox, which actually is tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, that's great.
Yeah. So started with NBA yesterday, and then I went to the night's game, and in between periods, I flipped over to NFL.
Mm.
And so I was able to go back and forth between those two, and then once the night's finished, finished up with football, and then did a little baseball in the end. So I did manage to do all four. I did not bet on all four. I did come out victorious, though.
What have you added to your wealth? Can we get an update? We need to get a button for this.
I am up $1.90.
Oh my God! No one talked. This is your week, Paul.
This is
our week.
My problem is that I can't. I'm betting. I'm not doing parlay cards or anything like that. I'm just kind of betting one at a time.
Building generational wealth.
Dabbling around a little bit. The problem is that I'm probably dabbling a little too hard.
Winning.
Yeah, sort of.
I am winning.
Maybe because I'm picking the right things, but in the wrong combinations. For example, I didn't think, so the over-under in the football game last night was 53.5, and they ended up going to 51.
And I take it that you took the over because it was Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and I took the points, too. So I had I took Chiefs and the points, so I had that one, but I didn't get the over-under. And so
didn't take the under in the hockey game yesterday, like I said, even though I had no confidence behind that at all.
You did say it was 5.5.
Like always.
You said take the under, and it ended up being 5.
Unfortunately. By a half?
Yeah, by a half. Unfortunately, in our play. So, yeah, but I did take it part of the Equinox, had a little bit of stake in it. Yeah, and made a couple bucks.
There is an aura about you today, Paul.
Is that what that is?
I think it's going to your head, and it's okay, because you've earned it thus far. And like I said, we're building generational wealth. That is what we are here to do.
That's just my...
And keep everyone updated on it.
That's just my Axe shampoo and conditioner body wash trifecta.
Yeah, made of gold.
Yeah.
And speckles of gold.
Like $3.99 at Fry's, so...
Well, let's get a couple more wins in our portfolio before we start dreaming big here.
Right.
Oh, easy, rascal flats.
Yeah, I know.
Easy.
Shampoo and body wash.
Those are important.
They are. I'm big on the combos. I like the combos.
I was just going to say you're big on the personal hygiene. Congrats.
Well, that too. But
yes.
I'm big on the combos.
Well, good.
All right. Speaking of combos, let's get you the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
All right, so your Las Vegas Raiders have all boarded the buses, and they are flying cross-country to take on the Carolina Panthers in a 10 a.m. game on Sunday. Today at 3:18, we'll be joined by Radio.com Sports NFL insider Elliot Shore Parks with a look at this weekend's openers. And at 4:22, Molly Sullivan, the brand-new, fresh-off-the-bus Raiders reporter for 8 News Now, will be joining us to talk about the Raiders game, which will be on 8 News Now this weekend, and be able to talk about what it's like not being in a locker room this year, because last year she was in the Eagles locker room.
It's unfortunate for her. I'm sure she's glad about the switch, and so am I, and I'm looking forward to talking to them both, because it's a heck of a docket we have in front of us this weekend.
Yeah, so as we open up here, game one of the Raiders, first ever minted right out of Las Vegas. John Gruden was asked about how confident he is in his team going into week one, and basically he said, we'll see.
I don't know, Vic. I haven't seen my team yet. You know, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen a game. I haven't seen really more than 3 or 4 live snaps of football. So, you know, I'm confident. We've worked hard. I'm really proud of these guys, our coaches and players, but, we got a long way to go to make that assessment.
Sounds like somebody's competitive glands are clogged. Oh, my goodness. You think he's chomping at the bit to see some actual football being played this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean,
his
media avail with reporters today lasted less than 3 minutes.
Well, what else is there to glean that we haven't already covered?
Yeah,
are you excited for the game? Just ever so slightly.
Yeah,
Come on. There
wasn't much really to go on. So.
Well, he's right, though.
Yeah.
You just got to get on the field and see what you got.
Yeah. I don't know, Vic.
Yeah. I don't know, Vic.
Yeah.
I don't know, Vic.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not sure.
So we'll see on Sunday, like everybody else, your Raiders and Panthers, 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. You'll be able to watch that on 8 News Now. And again, lots of that talk coming throughout our program today.
Number two.
All right, so this was interesting. In the past 6 hours or so, there have been reports that the goaltender, at least one of them for your Vegas Golden Knights, had signed a brand new contract with the Vegas Golden Knights, and we are talking about Robin Lehner.
Agreed to, not signed, because I don't know if he's technically allowed to sign anything per se, but that was the rumor that came out this morning, but he has since then directed that energy elsewhere.
Yeah, he is backtracking pretty hard. He was asked by a reporter pretty much flat out saying, have you agreed to a new 5-year contract with the team? And Robin had 50 seconds to talk about that and explore it in depth.
Yeah, well, it's not true. Again, I've in every team, I've been on a lot of teams lately, obviously, you know, you have some talks and kind of where you're at, what you want to do, and nothing has been finalized. We're here. It's kind of annoying, you know, we're here in the conference final and people are saying things they don't know and just adding on to this thing that's been going on here, you know. It's if it would have been finalized, it would have been finalized. It's but it's not, and I'm here to win a cup, not discuss this stuff.
We got other things to get through before we get to that step.
Lindsay, is this a distraction?
I don't know, Paul. Does it seem like it's one? On top of the conversation that's always being had around these two goaltenders.
It felt like he was annoyed to actually have to answer it.
Yep. And he should be annoyed because nothing has happened. And even if there is a handshake agreement, like he said, they're focused on winning the cup. That is a next year problem. And it just seems like there's a lot of energy, or at least enough energy for that distraction. And it might be affecting the team, to be totally honest. So I don't know. I'm just one of those people that say if you don't set the narrative, it will be set for you. But that's why you set the record straight. And I'd be sick of it as well.
It's not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
Hard to read between the lines on that one, but this one has gotten quite a bit of traction as the Knights move into a Game 4 situation on Saturday. We'll be breaking down some hockey with you at 3:37. But Robin Lehner, according to reports, has a 5-year handshake agreement with the Vegas Golden Knights. Has at least agreed to it, and he says
it's true. That's great,
right?
If true.
Deal or no deal, essentially. But right now, the guy who would be putting his signature to that paper says no deal.
Number three.
All right, we have a Game 7 tonight.
Who?
Amazingly enough, it is in the NBA. The Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors.
Ah!
It was quite the Game 6. Tip off tonight at 6 o'clock. Boston is the favorite on this one.
This has been a really boring series, especially as time expires, right?
yeah, no kidding. Boy, if the NBA needed something that was as dramatic as could be, this is the series that they could certainly lean on, because Miami and Milwaukee was kind of a flat-out dud. So they're getting their money's worth here between Boston and Toronto. Boston, the emerging star, in Toronto, the ones that are really trying to hang on to the old golden ring here.
Yeah, and they've done a great job. It's been back and forth all series. And, you know, Game 7s, you don't know what's going to happen. And we've seen how the play has kind of come down to the wire in the final minutes in the bubble. It's a whole different level of intensity.
Yeah, 2-0 in Game 6 and a Game 7 here, and Lindsay loves herself some Game 7.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. This is where legends are made, Paul.
Yeah, it's Celtics are the favorites in this one, but it's only 3 points right now. So, and by the way these two teams have played, it would not surprise me if that is the margin.
Are you going to invest some of your wealth into that?
I don't know. I'm not a basketball bettor, but I might have to.
Maybe
tonight.
That's the problem. Game Maybe that's seven. Why we haven't had the big, you know, explosion of wealth for you yet.
I'm not quite sure what team I would want to believe in here.
That's true.
You know, and that's a pretty thin margin in terms of spread. Yeah. I mean, that's basically a buzzer beater.
Yeah, I guess just bet on hockey, I guess.
I suppose I could do that. Yeah, Islanders and Lightning, that'll be a really easy one.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the over-under?
I don't know. It might be higher than 5.5.
It's probably 5.5. Yeah. Let's find out here real quick before we
move. You should look. We need to know.
It's not true.
It's not true.
That's going to be our thing, right?
Yeah. It's just not true. It's false.
Right, hold on. Here we go. Plugging it in here. Opening up the old app.
Look at you. Gosh, you're good at technology.
It's authenticating. Here we are. Pro hockey.
All right.
The over-under tonight. Islanders, Tampa. 5.
What? It's only it was 8-2 in game one. I don't really remember what the score was in the second game other than the multiple shots to the head of one Brock Nelson. It's tough for me to focus on the hockey when that's going on, but, you know.
Yeah.
Scoring goals.
Five.
Both teams know how to do it.
It's 5.
It's 5.
Number 4.
Well, this one is number 4. Last night during the NFL football game, the opener between said Kansas City Chiefs and the
Boyardee?
Yeah. The Chiefs, who pretty much cooked up a big win over the Houston Texans, was more not just known for the fact that I did win money on the game, but the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid, went out onto the field, not wearing a just regular kind of mask, just covering his nose and mouth, but he came out with a full face mask.
Yeah.
This will now be the Halloween costume du jour for 2020.
The meme ability of Andy Reid, honestly, he's probably the most versatile character in the NFL, at least on the coaching side. But yeah, the fog, everything. I mean, clearly we can play and win in whatever elements are placed in front of those chefs. Whatever they're steaming over there, because it nothing stopped Patrick Mahomes. He picked right up where he left off. But gosh, did you hear the Harbaughs? Now he's going to forego his mask because he saw,
what happened. Yep. They're friends. Mm-hmm. They're friends. So I don't know.
I bought army pants and flip-flops because she was wearing army pants and flip-flops.
So what you do, like, if you're, like, swimmers say, like, goggles when you go snorkeling, mm-hmm. you use, like, Vaseline.
Or spit.
Yeah, you spit in your goggles, mm-hmm. and it won't fog up.
Correct.
It'll keep them from fogging up. So, I mean, now granted, Andy Reid would have to be hucking a ton of loogies to, you know, clear out that entire mask. And it was raining in Kansas City, to be fair.
Yeah. If you put shampoo or conditioner, I forget, one of those two, or maybe the combo that you were talking about earlier on the hockey masks, the bubbles,
that's
what helps prevent fogging up. So, Andy, take some notes from your hockey.
Yeah. But he also wears glasses, too. So, I mean, he's got, like, whammy. It's a double whammy. It's the mask, and then he's got his glasses on, and it was weird. He literally, there was one point last night someone tweeted out, he kind of looks like Iron Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just strange. Like, there was some shadows and light and whatnot, but
this week is a really buffed up dress rehearsal, isn't it?
I'm wondering what he is. I mean, maybe he just has to, like, sit in the stands and call games. Maybe that would help.
Maybe that would equalize it a little bit more.
If he sat in the stands. But apparently it was not working.
Not going to work. Tin gun.
It was like driving on the California coast at 6:00 in the morning. I mean, it was just fog. So, Andy Reid, thank you for giving us all Halloween costumes for 2020.
Correct.
If we're allowed to go trick-or-treating.
Number 5.
All right. I know Lindsay will be happy about this one. This came out in the last 12 hours or so. They are bringing back the popular television show Wipeout.
Oh, the best. God, don't you just love seeing people get annihilated by their own mediocrity and lack of athleticism?
ABC had the show for about 6 years, and it came off, and TBS has now announced it's working on a revival of the show.
Perfect network for it, honestly. Yep.
The hosts of it will be former WWE wrestler John Cena.
Perfect.
And then, who is a show that I've told you about that you probably haven't watched yet. It's on Netflix. It's called Nailed It, and her name is Nicole Byer.
I freaking love Nicole Byer. She was on, is it like Girl Code or whatever on MTV? She's brilliant.
Yeah.
Comedian. She's great. She's on Woke, too. That's what I started watching on Netflix last night.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Nailed It's about a bunch of people who try to recreate baking stuff.
Right. Nailed It! That bit.
Yeah, and they're hot. Terrible at it.
I feel like this is a perfect hosting pair.
Wipeout.
Yeah, and it's Wipeout.
It's coming.
I will be tuning in.
It is coming back. Not sure quite, but they're working on the revival. The deal is they're going to have 3 rounds, again, of obstacle courses and whatnot, along with what is known as the big balls.
The big red balls.
And then they'll have the finally kind of end game, you know, beat the clock kind of ultimate challenge play.
And goodness knows what kind of ideas we've cooked up since we've been off the air. Lots of time on people's hands.
Yep. So
Who knows?
Well, we try to figure out reality shows, and this is kind of one of those socially distant reality shows, to be honest, because there's so much water involved. Like, you're constantly getting hosed down and being dropped into slime and mud.
Right. Run across this while we fire hose you, and there's obstacles in your way. Okay, have fun.
Right. There is another show on, I think it's Hulu, it might be Netflix. It's called The Floor is Lava.
Yeah. Yep.
That's brilliant, too.
It is.
It's right along this same kind of line.
Absolutely, and it hits right into the nostalgia bone as well.
It's not true.
Thanks, Rob!
All right, there's your check down. Your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. Coming up next, let's get a look at the weekend's openers with Radio.com Sports NFL insider Elliot Shore Parks.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay on this Football Friday as we get you ready for a full weekend of sports. We start with the NFL, and we know that the Raiders are involved on the road with the Carolina Panthers, but there's a lot of other action going on throughout the league as we enter this unprecedented week one. Joining us here on the line is Radio.com sports insider Elliot Shore Parks. He's brought to us by the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000 at radio.com/picks, and you can sign up there. Elliot, thanks for coming on, man. It's good to have you back this season.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to talking about these week one games.
Absolutely. And we got off to a pretty exciting start last night between the Chiefs and the Texans. And it seems like Bill O'Brien has kind of picked right where he left off in terms of his coaching strategy. And anything to glean from some of those decisions made in that game?
Yeah, I mean, early on when, Duke Johnson had that rushing touchdown, you sit and you say, okay, maybe he knew what he was doing. Then you quickly remember why Bill O'Brien very much belongs on the hot seat. And frankly, I think at the end of this year, might not have a job. I just don't see how, if you're the Houston Texans, you can allow Bill O'Brien to continue to coach Deshaun Watson. You saw last night with his commitment to running the ball when you have, a franchise quarterback back there in Deshaun Watson. So I was not impressed with Bill O'Brien last night at all.
Elliot, as we move into week one here, one of the bigger matchups to look at is the resumption, hopefully, at least for 49ers fans, of their march back to the Super Bowl. But they are losing wide receivers left and right. We've just learned that Debo Samuel's been ruled out for week one. If the Cardinals roll in there, Kyler Murray and crew, if they can knock off the 49ers, would that actually be classified as an upset anymore, just based on how Arizona's beefed itself up?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think that you're right. I think Arizona is certainly a team keep an eye on this season. I think they could be a playoff team. I'm big on Kyler Murray. You go out and get DeAndre Hopkins. You're a talented team that should be competing for the playoffs. But to go into San Francisco with a second-year quarterback, with a team that wasn't in the playoffs last year, if they can go into San Francisco and do that, even with all the injuries that the 49ers are dealing with, that would be an upset to me, and it would prove that they are a legit team that's going to be competing for a playoff spot. I don't know if they'll do it. I know that the 49ers are banged up, but with Kyle Shanahan and that offensive system, I'm confident they can kind of plug guys in and still put points on the board. So I think it's definitely one of the best games of the weekend, and it would certainly, in my opinion, be an upset if Arizona goes in there and wins.
Do you think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be up to it? Is this really the time that we're going to find out if he's worth the contract? I know that's really last year in that Super Bowl, but he hasn't ever had to compete with this few of weapons, at least security blankets on the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. I mean, look, if Jimmy Garoppolo completes that deep pass in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter there, I don't know if that's a question, right? I mean, he was that close last year to having an amazing season. I think he still did. When you see what he did last year in New Orleans, when he goes into, in my opinion, the toughest environment to play, throws four touchdowns and leads them to a shootout win over the Saints, there's no doubt in my mind that Jimmy Garoppolo is already legit. Now, to your point, can he carry a team that doesn't have an amazing set of skilled players around him? I still think he can, and it goes back to what I said before. I think with Kyle Shanahan as his head coach, he'll be fine. He can run the offense. I think he's one of the more accurate passers in the league. And if you have an accurate passer that's cool under pressure and can deliver the ball consistently, I don't think it matters who your receivers are. I expect another big year out of Garoppolo.
Let's stay out west here, Elliot, as we talk about the NFC West a little bit and the LA Rams, who found themselves on the hard knocks. But let's be honest, we didn't really learn anything really new.
It was riveting. What do you mean?
About this team, and they're taking on the Cowboys in a primetime game on Sunday night. The Rams feel like the kind of the charismatic enigma when it comes to the NFC West, where they've got, a team that, was built around a running back that's now being built around three running backs, that's got this kind of eclectic core of receivers. You know, Van Jefferson is new there, and Jared Goff is kind of the straw that certainly stirs the drink, but only to a certain extent. Where do you actually see them landing? Because I have so many question marks about the Rams' potential this season.
Yeah, well, I think it doesn't help, obviously, that they play in what might be the best division in football. We just talked about the Cardinals and the 49ers. It wouldn't surprise me if either of those teams had a better record than the Rams this year. And, you know, Sean McVay, I don't think he's going to be on the hot seat this year. Don't get me wrong. But I do want to see more from Sean McVay this year. I think in the NFL, it's all about adjustments. Once a team, and once you have a year of success, can you come back and do it again? And we saw McVay, I think, somewhat prematurely, you know, kind of rise up the ranks of best head coaches in the NFL. And, you know, last year, the Rams were not that good. It was a bad year for them. I thought that, you know, the opposing defenses adjusted well to what McVay was doing. Now, Jared Goff has to play better. But to me, this year is going to tell us a lot about McVay. Can that offense still move? Is he still going to come with, you know, new game plans each week that's surprising to defenses? So to me, when I look at the Rams, yes, you're right. The receivers maybe are not great. The running back. But to me, it's all about McVay this year with the Rams.
Speaking of adjustments, we're going to switch over to my favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings, and their very, very green defensive side of the ball. That's Mike Zimmer's strength, but they have all three new cornerbacks, and Danielle Hunter is going to be out for the next few weeks. How do you feel about them faring against Aaron Rodgers, who might have a bigger chip on his shoulder than we have seen from him in the past?
Yeah, big year for Aaron Rodgers, obviously, with the drafting of Jordan Love. And I think we'll have that pressure on him. I thought the move to go get Yannick Ngakoue by the Vikings was an absolute steal. When you look at players on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL, there's a few out there that might have a brighter future than Ngakoue, but I don't think there's many. He already has an extremely impressive track record of getting after the quarterback. I think he has something like 38 sacks in his first 4 years. He, you know, two seasons of double-digit sacks. So I thought it was a no-brainer to go out and get him. You give up a second-round pick and a conditional fifth. I mean, I talked to teams around the league that early, you know, probably two or three months ago, thought he would go for a first. So I thought it was a great deal for the Vikings. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a lot of problems with that defense, even with Danielle Hunter out.
Radio.com sports insider Elliot Shore Parks talking with us here on the Playmakers, Paul and Lindsay. Yeah, the Jaguars in the offseason were kind of like working with the laziest bodega owner on the planet. They're like, hey, I got 25 cents. Can I have a six-pack of beer? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Let's stick with that division that Lindsay alluded to with the Vikings. Let's talk about the Bears. Is this kind of it for them? I mean, live and die with Mitch Trubisky, because you go out and deal for Foles, again, a Jacksonville Jaguar castoff, but you still stick with Mitch. What is everybody seeing in him, or is he just getting the bad rap?
You know, you said they're going to live and die with Mitch. Well, then the answer is that they're going to die, and this is the end of the Bears, because I just don't see Mitch Trubisky. He's just not talented enough, in my opinion, to, you know, come out and surprise people. I talked about Garoppolo and how accurate he is with the ball. Mitch Trubisky is just not accurate. He can be athletic. I think that at times he can make some plays that, you know, can be wow plays, but to be a consistently winning quarterback in the NFL, you have got to be able to win from the pocket and throw an accurate pass, and Trubisky simply cannot do that. Now, I'm here in Philadelphia, where I saw Nick Foles, you know, make that Super Bowl run. I've seen him play great football here in Philadelphia. I was not surprised they went with Trubisky, considering what they had invested in him. But ultimately, I think the Bears are a better team with Nick Foles under center. He's a big-time quarterback. He is accurate from the pocket. He can run. He can run that offense. He comes from the Andy Reid, Matt Nagy type of offensive tree. So I think ultimately they will end up going to Nick Foles. And until they do, their season's in trouble. But if they go to him soon, I think they have the defense there and the head coach to potentially make a little bit of noise.
Speaking of young quarterbacks that have a lot to prove, let's talk about the Jets and Sam Darnold. And I don't really know what to ask about the Jets or what to think about it, because it just seems like it's always negative. It's always middling. And I know Le'Veon Bell is there, but it wasn't, I feel, as strong of a season as we expected from him last year. What are your feelings about the squad's chances for this season?
Yeah. Look, you say it's always negative when it comes to the Jets. You might not like my answer then, because I have nothing positive to say about this team, frankly. You know, I just don't think Adam Gase is a winning head coach in the NFL. And if you have a bad head coach, where frankly also is not building a great kind of culture there, I just don't see how you can be any good. I think Sam Darnold has been somewhat of a disappointment since going there, but it's so hard to succeed when you don't have a good head coach. Joe Douglas, the GM, I think is starting to do a better job. You saw them rebuild that defensive line, or sorry, offensive line. I can understand the trade of Jamal Adams to a certain extent, because they're not going to compete and you recoup a lot back. But as long as Adam Gase is on that sideline, I do not believe the Jets are going to be a winning team.
and the Jets taking on Sean McDermott's Bills this year, who might be one of the teams pegged to win the NFC, the AFC East. And, you know, we've seen a lot of shuffling, and we talk about the Jets, but the Patriots are right there. And we've talked so much about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the split between those two teams, but the Patriots did recover. I mean, honestly, the signing of Cam Newton is almost like, oh my goodness, how do you get another kind of piece like this for your team when you were literally looking at Jarrett Stidham and whatever Hoyer might have been floating out there? What are your expectations for the Patriots? Because the Patriots Nation are like, listen, we're going to buy this jersey of Cam Newton's, and we're going to ride it until it bucks us. Is this the year that the Patriots buck everything?
You know, a year from now, that Cam Newton jersey might not be worth much. He might be with a different team. But I think during this season, I think the Patriots are going to win that division. You just mentioned the Buffalo Bills. I'm not as big on the Bills as other people are. I just don't believe in Josh Allen as a quarterback. And frankly, Sean McDermott as well, I have some, you know, skepticism about as well. I think they can be a regular season team. I don't really trust them come playoff time. The Patriots know how to win in the playoffs, obviously. Cam Newton, I think he could succeed there. Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator, has worked with mobile quarterbacks before. We saw what he did with Tim Tebow, and Cam Newton is, you know, two or three times as talented as Tim Tebow is. So I think he could succeed there. I think not enough is made of the fact that Cam was really injured at the end of his time at Carolina. He couldn't throw the ball deep, dealing with the, you know, the shoulder injury he was dealing with. And I think coming into New England, he will have a really good year. My only concern with the Patriots is how many players opted out on that defensive side of the ball. That could be an issue, but I think you can win that division with 10 wins, and I think they'll get there.
Well, a team that might be sniffing around for 10 wins, but I doubt it considering what the season was for them last year. But the Bengals have new life in Joe Burrow. They're going to be facing off against the Chargers, who do not have Phillip Rivers under center for the first time in like what feels about 200 years. So what does a successful first start for Burrow look like? And how what is he going to be looking to do against the Chargers to take advantage of them?
I don't think the score matters here when it comes to whether it's a successful game for Joe Burrow and really for this season overall. What you want to see from Joe Burrow is him being calm in the pocket. And I would also say that for a guy that with that Cincinnati offensive line is going to be moving around quite a bit, he's not going to have many weeks where that pocket is clean. If I'm you know, Cincinnati, I'm the head coach there, and I'm watching Joe Burrow, what I'm looking for is his ability to remain calm. And then when he is on the move, keep his eyes down the field and how he does reading defenses. If he makes some poor decisions, I'm okay with that his first year. I just want to see him remain calm in these big situations, with pressure in his face.
Elliot Shore Parks, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider here with the Playmakers. Elliot, is Clay Matthews ring chasing at this point? You say no to Denver, and I kind of get that, but is he at that point in his career where he's going to do like what Leonard Fournette did, and when you get let by Jacksonville, let's go try to hook up with a team that's built to win now in Tampa?
I think so. And I also think an interesting component of players making decisions this year is the COVID-19, thing, the pandemic that's going on. Now, clearly, the testing so far has been good. So I think a month ago, we're all looking at it a little different. You look at, 64,000 tests and only having a handful of positives. That's encouraging. But if you're Clay Matthews, you're a guy that's obviously achieved a lot in the NFL. You don't really have to go play financially. You're in a good place. I think that when you also add the somewhat risk of the COVID-19 pandemic, that you want to be a little more selective about just signing with any team. I actually think Denver has a somewhat decent shot this year. I'm kind of in on Drew Lock, but I don't blame him on waiting for a better opportunity.
I have to ask, even though I don't like talking about the Eagles, but that is your squad, and that is it was a very devastating loss for my Minnesota Vikings just a couple years ago. You alluded to the Super Bowl that you won in our building, but what is how does Carson Wentz stay healthy this year, and how important is that for the franchise and their confidence in him as their long term option? Because we know the talent is there, but it just seems like there's a theme. I'm just saying.
Well, I'll say this. You say that in Philadelphia, and you'll get a lot of pushback. But what you said is absolutely true. Carson has had trouble staying healthy. You know, you can say whatever you want about Carson, but the reality is each of the last 3 years, he's ended it in the locker room injured, period. And, you can't have your franchise quarterback dealing with those kind of injuries. Now, leading into this year, he has a shaky offensive line in front of him. They're dealing with multiple injuries. They're going up against a really good Washington front four this week, so we'll see. But I think this season, if you're Carson and you're the Eagles, it has to end with Carson winning a playoff game. This guy was a number 2 overall pick. You've already paid him franchise quarterback money, he can't end his fifth year in the NFL without a playoff win. So this year, without question, Carson does not get a playoff win. I think you have to start looking at him differently. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round.
Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Washington football team in their opener this weekend. Before we let you go here, Elliot, in kind of an Eagles theme, but not, the Raiders, who are opening their first season here in Las Vegas, as you know, actually starting in Carolina this week. But we did grab a free agent wide receiver, Nelson Agholor. Are you guys missing him at all from the Eagles core? And what do you think he would bring to the Raiders, considering we could use some veteran help at wideout?
Yeah. So I can tell you Eagles fans aren't missing him. He didn't end well. It did not end well with Nelson here in Philadelphia. Now, I'll tell you, someone that was in that building every day that knew Nelson, I believe it was an excellent signing by the Raiders. He's a very talented receiver. He's an excellent route runner. He's dangerous with the ball in his hands after the catch. He's explosive. So I think he can add a lot to that Oakland offense. I also, you mentioned a veteran leadership. He can be a good influence in that locker room. He's been through a lot in his career, having struggled early on, kind of rebounded, and then, you know, fell back down, I would say, a little bit in Philly. So sometimes drops can be an issue with him. I think Eagles fans will tell you that pretty clearly. But I think he's a talented player that in the right spot in the right offense can definitely contribute.
Elliot Shore Parks, Radio.com Sports Insider, here with the Playmakers. Elliot, appreciate the time, man, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
All right. Radio.com Insider Elliot Shore Parks brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Football Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000. To sign up, go to radio.com/picks.
Coming up,
yes, coming up next, we need to get under the hood with your Vegas Golden Knights and do a few fixes ahead of Game 4.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Game 3 did not go our way.
No, it did not.
3-2, the final, and the shortest of overtimes.
32 seconds?
Yeah.
31, says my score sheet.
31 seconds.
31 seconds.
So now the Vegas Golden Knights have to win 3 of the next 4 games in order to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. A tall task, Lindsay. So let's grab a couple of wrenches and get on the sliding board and go under the hood of the Knights. What do they need to fix?
Well, I think we need something other than wrenches, because I think that this team right now is playing a little bit too robotic, a little bit too hollow, and that's really the biggest difference, because you can add up, you know, a play here, a 50-50 battle here, a goal against, a goal for, and you can add those up all day. But I think that Dallas right now straight up wants this series more, and they're willing to battle for it and to do the little things at a more consistent basis than the Golden Knights are right now. So the wrenches need to go. We need to have mirrors. We need to have reflection time if I'm in that Golden Knights locker room and figure out what I need to do better, because I know that these guys are trying and that you get shots and you have all this possession time, and that's great. But the thing is, it's not translating to wins. And so it doesn't matter if you dominate all those categories. And it's a little bothersome to me when you hear some of the comments in the post game saying, well, I think that we played well enough to deserve to win. Did you? That second period, Paul, did you see it?
I was there, yes.
Brutal. And we were lucky only to get out 2-1. It should have been about 4 or 5 to nothing. But in almost every statistical category and team stats, other than the power plays, which they went 1-for-4 on and took fewer penalties, they got beat. They got out-hit. They gave the puck away more. They did not take the puck from Dallas as much as Dallas took the puck from them. And Dallas, as usual, was willing to lay it all on the line and block 21 shots last night. That's what spells up to victories at this point. That's in those categories. It's usually not something that the Golden Knights dominate. And for me, that's the difference.
Okay,
right now.
So is this basically, let's harken back to 1980, where Team USA and Russia are playing each other, and Russia did not know how to play from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no answers to having to make up a goal or make up 2 goals. Is that what we're seeing with the Golden Knights? And this is kind of a shot in the dark, to be honest, because I'm not sure that's what we're seeing. But the Knights, because they have played so well and have, you know, they've had these third period comebacks, right? The third period comeback. We'd seen so many of those. Is just Lady Luck kind of running out on the fact that they're just having trouble playing from behind against a really solid team? The Dallas Stars, by all means, are the most mature team that they have played since they entered the bubble.
Yeah, and the most valuable. I mean, they scored at just as many, if not more, goals than the Colorado Avalanche in the last round. And we know how big of an offensive juggernaut they were. They were probably the only rivals in the Western Conference to match the Golden Knights. And I think you're absolutely right in terms of just not being familiar with playing a game in which we're not the ones in control from the start, or we're not able to win the game in the way that we're used to. There are so many things that have to go right for the Golden Knights to play their best game. Usually it includes a goal for that team in the first 5 minutes, and that physicality that you start with the fourth line, and then maybe they get another one a couple minutes later. But when they go an entire first period and they go into that second period, which started with a really bad shift from Dallas, who weren't awake, but you heard their bench. They're like, hey guys, we got to make sure we're getting on the ice. And from there, they just completely took over the neutral zone. They just completely outskated everyone. And it's there's the bite and the rage aren't there. Even if you did deserve to win last night, Paul, I'm pissed if I lose that game in overtime. Because first of all, you almost lost the game in the weaning seconds of the third, which would have been disastrous. But to give it up 30 seconds into overtime, it's just, that's such a box to put yourself in psychologically. And like you said, Paul, it's so tough for them to start rolling the boulder down the hill. And so with a team like Dallas, who's willing to work themselves until they find their game, it's tough to expect, you know, a winning result for your team if the other squad is working so much harder and able to find their game in so many different ways than you are.
It seems like you're concerned about the passion of the team just based on the statements that were made in the post game, because you were thinking, man, we should have never let that get away. Were you looking for more expletives than me? Because that's what I'm looking at.
Right.
I'm looking at a team that, if you're saying that the answers just weren't, that it just didn't seem like they wanted that game three more than Dallas. It was like, yeah, we could have played better. Yeah, we played well enough to win, as opposed to, you know, expletive.
Yeah.
We should have taken game three.
Yeah.
And where they're just, right now, it feels like they're playing through the motions of play as opposed to executing the plays.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I don't want to question the passion for the game, because I know how much this means to this team and to every hockey player at this level, especially at this stage of the playoffs, because that's there. But I just feel like you're up in the bubble for how many weeks now? You're with your team all the time. There's a lot of drama going on and a lot of conversation around a position that's very important to your team, but not a problematic position. There's so much attention paid to who's playing in the net and why. And I think it's taking the team's focus away. And it's also taking maybe a little bit too much of the heat off the players that need to be producing right now. And I know that William Karlsson had a goal the other night, but he should have had he didn't convert on that wide open chance in front of the net. Same with Marshall. So there were so many chances last night where you're just like, come on, Golden Knights, this is the spot where you press, especially at the end of that third period after they were fortunate to get that goal that was challenged by Dallas. And then you had Khudobin losing his mind. You could see how he was playing. He was overextended.
You've called a 1B on many occasions.
Exactly. But you know what? He's their starting goaltender. Ben Bishop isn't available, and they've played and would die for him, because even when he's playing in a game where he's facing 40 shots, he's still getting oranges and water and stuff and Gatorade for his teammates in between the periods. He's still that's the tight-knitness that I feel is missing, or at least not up to speed like Dallas's is. Like, did you see the picture of the Dallas Stars like whiteboard in their locker room after game seven? It was like the checklist.
I didn't see the checklist.
It was a checklist, like, we got to get pucks deep, but you just have boom, 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 and it said win the game, drink beers, or have beers after. And that's the leadership and the captaincy of Jamie Benn. It's like, you work hard, you play hard. And he gets a bad rep from a lot of people, but I know for a fact that people who have played with him love playing for him. And that's what I feel like it's translating. It's not this huge thing. It's not a huge percentage, just like we've been saying all along. But yeah, I would expect a little bit more bite, a little bit more just not caring, but I would just be so much more angry losing that game in the manner that you did, especially when you escaped that third period and weren't scored on to lose in the waning seconds of the game. I don't know how that chance even happens. That has to be, we have to bear down on all 60 minutes. We're not even close. And then you go in the locker room and it's 31 seconds. And I know it's an unbelievable shot, and it is. But how is he open on the wall? Why is everybody on the same side of the ice? Why is everybody looking?
So one thing I was wondering about it, and as we entered that overtime, I was like, okay, how tight are we going to get when it comes to just, you know, locking things down in an overtime, knowing it's sudden death no matter what happens? And I was honestly super surprised, and I'm not sure, you know, if fans are looking at it too. I think many of you probably thought the same thing, is like, where's the D? Because it was wide open. Like, there
I'll
was nothing.
Where it
like,
is.
All he had, like, literally, it was just open ice. It was one on one.
Yep. And that's just bad decisions or guys looping the wrong way, not stopping and stirring. But the problem is the defense as a whole, especially Shea Theodore. And we know that's the pairing that makes things move, him and Alec Martinez. He has had to put so much on his back to be the goal scorer, the leading point getter on this team as a defenseman. And he's very good. He's going to be a Norris Trophy, you know, finalist for years in the future. But given the circumstances and the amount of weight that he has to carry, there's no way he has bandwidth to play defense to the level that's needed. And you have Alec Martinez trying to make up for that. And sooner or later, those legs and those that focus level is going to wear down. Just look at Shea Theodore anytime he's not in the offensive zone, or look at the second or the breakaway goal. He dips way too low into the Stars' defensive zone. And that's the thing. When you're focusing so much on succeeding in one area of your game because you have to, because everybody else is sleeping or not ready to go or not executing at the level, like, sooner or later, it's going to add up and the bill's going to come due. And it's not the difference of a $50 bill and a $10 bill. We're talking about hay pennies here, people. And so this is it. This is it. Honestly, I'm nervous right now, Paul, and I haven't really been nervous about this team throughout the playoffs. And I predicted 7 games in the last series, and I still predict 7 games for this series. But based off of last night's effort and the response after the fact, I don't know. Because in those final 5 minutes of that game last night, when they really could have pushed Khudobin, especially after he almost hurt himself, if you take charge there and take that game, you could take that whole series in that final 5. And they tried. But that's the bit. They always try. They always have the possession time. We always get the shots. We're always, you know, on the right Corsi level or whatever the hell that means. But it doesn't matter because you don't win. So you got to figure it out. It starts with the mirrors and not with the wrenches.
Wins and losses mean a lot. Game 4 coming up tomorrow night between Vegas and Dallas. We'll have more breakdowns coming up for you in hour 2. Coming up next, a reflection on the day.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay, Playmakers here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. This morning, outside of Allegiant Stadium, they had a flag ceremony to honor those lost in the attacks of September the 11th, 2001, where nearly 3,000 people lost their lives in 3 different locations. Flags are half staff. I have a number of friends across the country, you know, who are dealing with this in a number of different ways, mm-hmm. who lost loved ones in those attacks, personally affected by them. I see them on social media, and it's tough for me to engage with them today because, mm-hmm. you know, I in some cases I've said what needed to be said, but they're still moving through the mourning process because of just how shocking it was.
It was a day that I was in fourth grade. I remember most of what I did that day, and I'm sure everybody that was alive and has that kind of memory or at that age remembers a good chunk of where they were, or who they were with, or what they remember. And it was, like you said, so many people affected, like, directly, but then also just the shock waves across the country itself and how everything changed after that. Everything changed.
Yeah, it's very clear. Today is certainly a day of remembrance. I mean, it's different. Obviously, we're all trying to do it in a different way mm-hmm. with the pandemic, obviously. You've seen all the flags across the state, certainly here in Las Vegas and Southern Nevada at half-mast. That'll continue through the day today. I think the one thing that, you know, we can all take away from this is that, you know, we are all still one, as sometimes divided in different ways. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a moment that we need to make sure that, you know, while we're all operating in kind of different normals right now,
mm-hmm.
I think this is one of those. This is one of those days that cannot be kind of pushed aside.
No, and I think you're right, though, in terms of the collective suffering and how that can be, I don't want to say beneficial, but it brings people together. But then we find ourselves in a time right now where it's very divisive, and even when we're supposed to be coming together, because it's a different type of disaster and everything. But, you know, it's a tough conversation. It's a tough memory to revisit every year. But for the people that did perish, for the people that went up the stairs instead of running down, to, you know, people that helped rebuild New York City and Washington, D.C., or, you know, all everything that people have done since. Like, that's why you go through the tough stuff. That's why you see, you know, firefighters go to gyms today on Stairmasters, and they'll climb as many stairs as a lot of those firefighters did 19 years ago. It's out of respect.
Yeah. September 11th in our country here. I just wanted to take a moment, I think, during the program here, and incredibly important to remember the day and to remember what we have and what we still cherish, and how we can all come together. We can still try. We certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, it is a Football Friday, and we've got a lot of NFL news to share with you. Also, going to introduce you to a brand new member of our partners at 8 News Now, the new Raiders reporter there, Molly Sullivan. She'll be joining us here and talking about the Raiders opener against Carolina and how you can catch all the action this season for the first time in Las Vegas.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number two of the Playmakers. Paul Ihander here, and over there, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is Lindsey Brown.
Greetings.
It is a full second hour here on this Football Friday. Lots of things to pass along to you. And at 4:22, do want to remind you that 8 News Now Raiders reporter Molly Sullivan will join us. First time joining us.
Best friend.
And she is here in town covering the Raiders, and she'll be talking about a brand new Vegas Raiders pregame show that'll be on Sunday mornings at 8 News Now with the full crew. They're also including former Raider, former Denver Bronco, Brandon Marshall.
I saw that.
Yeah.
What a collection of a talent that they have over there at 8 News Now to cover and get everyone ready for that Raiders football.
Yeah, putting a lot of big pads over there. They've shot all their promos and whatnot a couple of days ago, so be happy to hook up with Molly and pick her brain a little bit. She worked in the Philadelphia Eagles locker room and the 76ers as well.
Speaking of a theme today.
Yeah, no
God,
kidding.
What is this, Eagles fan radio filling up in here?
I have to ask her about good cheesesteak that she may or may not have found here. We do have a little breaking news to you, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. The NBA has told teams it's going to reduce travel in the upcoming season, but they will have fans, but they will not bubble in the upcoming 2020-21 season.
Okay.
They still want to do 82 games. And are targeting the November 18th draft, but they may do a virtual NFL draft style draft like they did.
The NBA draft?
The NBA draft will be conducted like the NFL did, with the virtual war rooms and, I guess, Adam Silver in his basement.
Like I said, I think that makes more sense, because most of the draft, at least on the NBA side, is guys taking pictures with Silver in the hats of the teams that they won't play for. So it's really not that big of a deal, but that's good to hear, I think. But also, how?
Again, there's not a lot of a lot of details on that, but they will start.
We have the results, but not the plan yet.
Start no sooner than Christmas, and they will make an announcement, so we will know, and all teams will know about the next season within 8 weeks of the start date that they determine. So when they put that start date out there, that'll be the 8 week notice, essentially.
Got you. So, interesting.
Full heads up. So the NHL looking at January 1, the NBA now looking at making a few changes, but not bubbling, but just reducing the amount of travel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that means fewer Eastern Conference teams being played. Maybe you just rotate mostly, you know, in the West, and you most rotate mostly in the East.
Right. Or you're just going on like longer road trips where you're just not going back and forth as much, because we know that they fly private. Like,
right.
It's the NBA. So come on. Yeah.
But they do want to have fans. So that's
slightly important to all the sports leagues if they can help it.
Well, they talk about salary cap, and that's going to be one of those things that's going to affect the livelihoods of athletes. And again, with the NBA, it's strange. Like the NFL, we saw so few rookies, unless you were really like top three or four rounds, make teams in unrestricted free agents. Most of those guys ended up on practice squads. NBA might be that same kind of deal. If you're a veteran in the NBA right now, kind of riding that 1 year contract, but you've at least been with that team, your likelihood of probably sticking with that team probably went up.
Yeah. Or it could go the opposite way too, in terms of like, well, we're going to get more guys in here so we can develop them, and we have more roster spots. But I have a feeling for the teams that contend or are in the business or that are on the horizon, you're absolutely correct.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, it is a Football Friday here, and the Patriots led things off early this morning as we all got all the injury reports, and we're seeing a bunch of things that they've still got some money. We're still not
done. Well, everybody opted out.
Right. We're still not done with the big deals. The NFL... NFL's New England Patriots, still talking about the Patriots, gave a pay raise to cornerback Stephon Gilmore. He got a $5 million raise. So he went from $10.5 million to $15.5 million.
I would also like a $5 million raise just on a random Friday.
A 33% raise. Or he got 50. So $5 million, so 50%, yeah.
Well,
bump. And if he gets Defensive Player of the Year again, which he is the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, $2 million bonus.
He's going to have plenty of chances to prove it, too. Tell you that right now.
So he's right in there. So he's right in there in terms of the cornerback position.
Yeah.
You know, Ramsey got the $20 million earlier.
Yeah, like literally like earlier. Right. Is that today or yesterday?
Reset the market.
He signed today or
that was
yesterday.
2 days ago?
All the days blend together.
And then Tre'Davious White in Buffalo got his extension. He's got 17 and a half. So top three cornerbacks making between $15 and $20 million.
It's an important position, Paul.
Yeah, you lock down the one, and you got to make sure that your cornerback two on the opposite side is at least decent or at least has some height.
If you have one of the top tier, you got to keep them. They're very important.
Yeah, don't throw to that side.
No.
Of the ball.
No.
DeAndre Hopkins threw a little shade
at
his former team last night after Kansas City defeated the Houston Texans 34-20. So they did cover the spread. It was 53.5. I mentioned that early in the program.
Yeah, that's what Bill O'Brien was aiming for.
Right. He was, yeah, they were
just for a win.
Right. Just cover the spread. Hopkins sent out a one word tweet.
Blessed. Thankful.
Grateful.
Grateful. That's right. Grateful. God. Yeah, you're right. That is a hell of a shade to throw.
But he says it wasn't shade.
Oh, okay.
He says because he was on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Uh-huh.
He says that was a dream.
Just happened.
So he was grateful.
It's okay. Yeah. It's totally coincidental, Paul. Totally coincidental. There's nothing behind it. There's no hard feelings whatsoever. Although he did get the better end of the deal.
He did. He also got himself a monster extension for 2 years in Arizona.
I mean, I'm sure he really enjoyed playing with Deshaun, but in terms of we've already talked about Bill O'Brien.
Right. Sure.
And we talked about how the Cardinals are on the rise. The scales have been tipped, Bob.
Houston just looks so
discombobulated.
Yeah. I was going to say unorganized last night, but that word works too.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be really unfortunate if they don't kind of smarten up here, because they're going to waste Deshaun. Because we know how quickly these careers can go, and he was a little bit older when he entered the league as well. So it's what is he, year four now?
Yeah.
So time is of the essence. If there's anything we've learned, in 2020.
David Johnson didn't have a bad game last night. It's only one game, but it's clear veteran running back performance. He looked very healthy. He's got that, but they fell behind. They were up 7-0, and then that was kind of it. They had nothing else going for them whatsoever.
Right. Well, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, how many incompletions did he have? Less than five? Three touchdowns? Like, what are you going to do? Because just think of the mental battle to always be like, we have to stop him again, or we have to keep up with him again. It has to be a slog.
Yeah, he threw some passes last night. I mean,
shockingly.
It's just effortlessly. I mean, it didn't even look like he was creating, even though he was creating.
I did enjoy the play, and I don't know if it was just because, like, if it was pregame or if he was running out of bounds, but, like, when Watson went to the Chiefs sideline and then sat down with Patrick because they're both buddies, like, they arm in arm, I was like, that's super funny. That's what this league needs. I'm all about it.
Watson, late in that game, there was a run where he had, and it was, I mean, he had no business running it, but he did, and he was trying to just create and make something happen. I think
probably some good vibes.
He ended up running left and spun a couple of times, and he didn't take a big hit, you know, and Clark was right there tracking him down.
Are you serious, Clark?
Watson just kind of ended up on his back, and he picked himself up, and he just kind of looked at the Chiefs defenders, and they knew they had him, you know, dead to rights too, and he just kind of went down, and he was just having a laugh about it, going, yeah, guys, I know I'm down 17 right now.
Right.
You know?
I just need some sort of good feeling in my game tonight.
Yeah, just let me have what I can have.
Yeah. Can I get a first down, please?
Yeah. So, it's two different teams completely in the AFC West. See if Houston can get things turned around in week two. Social justice will be key, obviously, throughout the entire NFL. Messages painted in the end zones. John Lewis is the honorary captain for the Atlanta Falcons this weekend.
Saw that.
And
very
the
cool.
Minnesota Vikings are going to host George Floyd's family. this weekend as they have the home opener against the Green Bay Packers. And they're going to stream a number of pregame activities. Again, it's unclear what it's going to be on their website, Vikings.com.
Right. Now, obviously, this is it's a big-time topic for all of us, but especially in Minneapolis, and because that's where the murder of George Floyd happened and where his family resides, or at least part so. And, you know, it's very important to keep that at the forefront. And I don't know if you saw the beginning of last night's game, too, Paul. I was pretty disappointed with the boos, with the unity thing. Like, everybody's just doing their best to raise the platform and make life better for people that really need the help.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
It was a strange gesture by the fans at Arrowhead. I would have thought it would have been just like, hey, we're grateful to be here, and
right.
we're going to support you because you're here. And it was a pretty simple gesture,
and
to be honest.
That we don't understand. We do understand.
No, you do understand.
Yeah, we know exactly what's going on out there.
Right. It's, you know, when you're talking about a sports game, a game of men, and they're trying to bring people together
in unity
in the name of sports and taking a stand against something which we should all be taking a stand against
on September 10th.
Right. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yep. No, but it's very important, and I commend the Vikings for extending that invite, and I'm looking forward to seeing their continued efforts after week one as well.
They're going to wear t-shirts that say Be the Change. And they will also play the national anthem, the Black national anthem as well. Now, this is different from what's going to happen in Miami, where Miami players
they're not going
and
out.
Coaches aren't even going to come out for the anthems.
Neither did Houston, right, last night?
Yeah, Miami specifically says the NFL is not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even after the offseason, there's still not enough being done, and suggesting that perhaps they move in a little bit more the way that the NBA has in terms of, and again, we had a pause just a couple of weeks ago. We had a complete pause of sports yet again, which prompted more change. The NBA did step up and created more social justice fronts.
The governors, because you hit them in the pocketbook, because
right.
they're the ones that have the connections.
And in more community cases, and the Dolphins, at least their ownership, they're supportive of what the Dolphins players and staff plan to do.
Mm-hmm.
Today, John Gruden was actually asked about what the players had planned to do. He wasn't very specific, but he says, we've decided and we're pretty united as a locker room. So he didn't actually say what they had planned to do or if they'd even talked with Carolina about what they were going to do in terms of the national anthem when they play on Sunday. But you should just be expecting this, folks.
Everyone's voicing their concern or not voicing whatever way that they decide to display that. That's the right thing. They're allowed to do it. Come on. Get with the times.
So this is in Minnesota, where the flashpoint,
yep.
truthfully, of social justice here in 2020. This is where it started. The Vikings are going to take a number of steps here on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So on our radio.com, on our site, CBS Sports Radio 1140.com, we actually have this story posted if you want to check it out. This is probably going to just tick off a bunch of Raiders fans and a bunch of other teams as well.
Let's do it.
This is the before the first weekend of the season, the editors and experts at Radio.com Sports have put together the 2021 NFL mock draft, the top 10 picks before the actual first weekend of the season. And on this list, with the number 8 pick, would be your Las Vegas Raiders.
I'm offended for the Raiders fan because we're included on this list, but also, come on, we're just starting the season.
This is what this is. This is, you know, Lizzie, this is why I dislike the if the playoffs started today conversation when there are still a quarter of the season to play.
Why don't we like being in the moment? Why don't we like being in the moment that
we're
in? Because
this allows us to talk about Trevor Lawrence. Going to the Washington.
Not enough is talked about
going
him.
Going to the Washington football team.
He had a huge feature in ESPN today.
And Justin Fields going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We'll have fun, Justin.
With pick number 2. So what they're saying is, as much as Jacksonville has been trying to tank and literally give away the team in the offseason, they still won't be bad enough to get the first overall pick in the NFL.
Or just, you know, destiny will not allow Jacksonville to have nice things.
And Minshew will be 8-8 this year in Jacksonville.
Hmm. Well, I don't think they're going to get that number 2 pick then.
I don't think I'm putting them at 8-8.
No, no.
That's not what
certainly
what's
not.
All right,
yeah.
Lindsay, like you and I did last year, basically enough, we've been doing this for about a year.
Yeah,
and, you know, off
pretty
and
darn
on,
close.
Near consistently for a year, but we did a special broadcast last year during the NFL opener on the Thursday. We were hanging out with our friends at Great American Pub out
That's
in Henderson.
Right.
We were hanging out in that sweet back room, by the way. You missed their flatbreads, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, duh. The pepperoni flatbreads there are great. great.
So, yeah, they have two locations, by the way, where you can get the pepperoni flatbreads. I only mention them. They're not giving us any money to do that, but we did really love hanging out at Great American Pub.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, they were just super people. So if you need a place to, like, watch games and whatnot, they've got the one at Henderson, 215 and Eastern, just mm-hmm. right there. It was Serene. And then they've got another one over here on the west side, 215 and Flamingo, yeah. just on the west side. So
right by Chuck E. Cheese.
We did go through kind of like the Raiders' schedule and kind of gave our thoughts about where the Raiders were going to land.
Okay.
In terms of record, where they were going to be. For the Raiders, and in 2019, they were ended up finishing third in the AFC West.
Mm. So are we just picking an overall record, or are we going game by game here? I'm just trying to make sure we're good on time.
We can go overall record. Yeah, I think we need to go game by game, but do you think, I mean, I think they're going to win this weekend at Carolina. They were 7-9 last year, so put that one out there. 7-9. I think I was under by a game. I think I was a 6-10 with them last year.
I think I went 8-8 with them last year. And you know what? Let's just go 9-7. Let's live a little. It might be enough in the wild card.
I'm a 10-6.
10-6.
I'm a 10-6 with this team.
Really?
I really am. But it's gonna take some surprises to get to 10-6. I've got surprises. I actually think they're gonna win Monday night against New Orleans here when they play at Allegiant Stadium.
And that's because it's a brand new facility. There's nobody in there.
Right, and no one's seen it. So the Saints haven't seen the facility yet.
Yep. All bets are off when it comes to the in-game experience. And I agree. That's why I think this year is just gonna be ripe for some teams that we don't expect. So why not the Las Vegas Raiders?
But I could see a run at the end of the season. That's the deal. I can see them taking out, I mean, right after Kansas City, they go Atlanta, Jets, Colts, Chargers, Dolphins, Broncos. That's six games in a row where I feel they could get six wins.
Yeah.
And now I'm just looking for four in the first 9 weeks. But I mean, I'm talking about running the table, though, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, we're healthy. Everybody's clicking.
Yeah. Phil Rivers hasn't figured things out with the Colts. You know, Sam Darnold is maybe just as bad as he was last year. But yeah, this schedule has potential to really take some big time steps and surprise some people. But it's all about execution, Paulito.
It's true. It's true.
And Gruden hasn't seen anything yet, okay?
Right, he hasn't seen
anything. We haven't seen any game time. It's not like we're waiting for it or anything. It's fine.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
I don't know, Vic.
3 minute news conference. Yeah, I don't know what they look like.
I don't know, Vic. Gosh, aren't we excited? I'm excited for the NFL season to start, even though it started last night. But it starts on Sunday.
In earnest, it's Sunday. There's like six or seven games in that 10 o'clock slot.
The circadian rhythm says Sunday.
Right. The afternoon's got a handful of games. And then we've got Sunday night football, obviously. And then the doubleheader, which is now a new tradition for everybody on the Monday night. So it'll be great to have that regular football back. And we've got college football coming up, too. So, yeah, if you're looking for football, we have plenty of it here on CBS Sports Radio 1140 as we kick off with college football tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Syracuse and number 18 North Carolina, ranked team, top 25 team. We get ACC football, and then on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, for those of you looking for an alternate to the Raiders on television, we will have Cleveland and Baltimore. So Baker versus Lamar
implication.
So yeah, pretty exciting stuff there. But coming up next, we're going to introduce you to someone. Well, she's not new to Vegas; she's been here before, but now she's back. 8 News Now Raiders reporter Molly Sullivan joins us next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
On a football Friday, the Playmakers, Paul Iander and Lindsey Brown here, socially distant in the studio, but still here with you, getting ready for a big weekend as the NFL kicks off week one. We wanted to get you introduced to to one of the newest members of the Valley Sports crew, and she's with our partners at 8 News Now, once in Philadelphia, so she's traded Reading Terminal Market back again for the Fremont Street experience. She's the Raiders reporter and our partners at 8 News Now. Molly Sullivan joins us. Molly, welcome to the show and welcome back.
Hey, Paul and Lindsey, good to be hanging with the Playmakers. It's a good first week back in action here.
Well, we're happy to have you. And I got to ask, do you anticipate an Andy Reid-style shield extending from the bill of the visor of John Gruden on Sunday? Or do you think he took too many notes on that game last night?
You know, Lindsey, I expect that from you. Also, we got to talk about what happened in your backyard at U.S. Bank Stadium, too.
Oh, my goodness.
The visor, you know, I don't know. To be continued. We'll certainly keep an eye on that and have the latest for you on 8 Sports Now.
Molly Sullivan here with the Playmakers as 8 News Now is one of the official partners of the Las Vegas Raiders and will have the most Raiders games on this year. She's part of a brand new pregame show they have at 8 News Now Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. Molly, tell us, first of all, I'm sure that was probably one of the draws that brought you back here to Las Vegas was to be a part of yet another NFL franchise, especially right here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I would be remiss, though, if I didn't say we took a bit of a leap of faith. So we moved back the day before the Super Bowl. We were back in town and had some big meetings set in March. And then, of course, you know, the real world happened. Reality hit, and everything was on hold. Of course, the NFL draft postponed and all of that. So, again, I am just happy to be back in action. I interned at Channel 8. Wait for it, 18 years ago. How wild is that? So with Chris Matthews and Dave McCann back in the day, even Kate Bennett, who is now a dear friend as well, she's rocking it in D.C. But, you know, I interned there. So now to be full circle, and Terry Foley, our fearless leader, our news director, sent out a new hire email, right, and said, after an 18-year absence, and I'm like, whoa. I used to lie about my age, but now I'm finally proud of it. But, yeah, here we are. You know, we did take a leap of faith. I have a 4-year-old daughter now, Paul and Lindsay, and I grew up in Las Vegas. I want the same for her. This city, our community, has been good to me. Education's huge in our family, and we've got her in pre-K. She's loving life. She loves people. So my daughter actually made the decision, and everything else fell into place. Funny how that works.
Well, she knew it was going to be a heck of a sports town that you guys were moving back to, even though you had been here before. And there's familiar faces in new spaces here. And so I want to start off at least some of our Raiders conversation here with Jonathan Abram, because, you know, he was on the team last year, suffered that injury really early in the season. But based off of what we learned from him in Hard Knocks and the way that he plays the game, what do you anticipate from him, and how much of an addition is he to that defense's psyche going forward?
Well, he's huge. I mean, let's not get it twisted. In fact, Chris and I, we had our little rehearsal, which, oh, by the way, I'm not used to rehearsals. I'm used to live game broadcast, ready, go. But it's fun to kind of talk football again with Chris. And we did single him out. I mean, this is going to be huge in terms of getting pressure on Teddy Bridgewater early and often. You know, John Gruden telling us early in the week, right, that he had to dig into the LSU vault, right, with new offensive coordinator Joe Brady with the Panthers. He had to go into the LSU vault, and also obviously with the Saints with what Bridgewater did behind Breeze last season. But look, if you're not going to outwork the Las Vegas Raiders and Mike Mayock and John Gruden, you're not going to outwork them. So now the key is for everything to translate, that, and that includes Abrams, right? I mean, everything on paper, it gets us all fired up, and the pieces are there. The pressure is gone because the talent is there. But like Mike Mayock said earlier, he said, listen, you are what you represent you are. And so they know they want to be more dynamic, more athletic, more and faster, which they are, but they got to prove it on Sunday starting at Carolina.
8 News Now Raiders reporter, back to the Valley, Isabella's mom, as she says on her Twitter. So you can follow her on her Twitter, like Lindsay and I both have, at Molly Sullivan TV. She'll give you lots of great insight. And as we talk about the Raiders here, having spent time in Philadelphia, and now that you're here with the Raiders, you've seen, you know, obviously the Raiders went through the loss not having Tyrell Williams this year. They're going to have to lean on some young receivers, but you're also familiar with Nelson Agholor. And so you've got this brand new dynamic with trying to lean on some rookies, but also having some veteran presence, not just with Agholor, Jason Witten as well. How does that help Derek Carr this year?
I think just the more weapons that you have on offense, the more you can stretch guys horizontally, vertically. You just look at what Kansas City did last night, right? I mean, I think that you start there, and you did mention Nelly. Now, I call him Nelly. Chris Matthews in our production meeting was calling him Nelson, and I'm like, yo, who's Nelson? You know, so I kind of had to do a double take there. But I do want to talk a little bit about Nelly here because I am familiar with him, and he's a grinder, guys. He's very self-aware as well. I mean, this guy is intelligent. If he wants a career in television after he retires and down way down the road, he's got it. Perhaps he's far smarter than we are, though. He'll do bigger things. But the way he uses his body to create separation, it's special. I mean, there's faster guys out there. There's stronger guys. There's bigger guys. But he's a seasoned pro, and so I'm excited to see Nelly in this fresh start and what he can do in the desert. But yeah, look, Paul, I mean, more weapons, the better. You got Derek Carr saying you don't have pressure when you have the pieces, right? So it'll just be interesting to see how things click. I mean, they prepared for the unknown. I'm just so excited for kick. 10 a.m. only on CBS. We're going to be rocking an all-new crew at 8 a.m. every single Sunday so you can hang with us. And, Paul, I know that you spent some time in Denver. So you're familiar with Brandon Marshall and just what a jackpot we got with this kid.
Yeah, I do know B. Marsh, and he's being a Las Vegas guy, and definitely he's smart on the field, definitely smart off the field, and certainly will be great for your guys' coverage as well on 8 News Now every Sunday, and with the most Raiders games on CBS starting this Sunday as the Raiders are in Carolina.
Now, Molly, you mentioned the weapons that the Raiders have been able to acquire this year, and how that's a little bit different and at the disposal for Derek Carr, but you have to be able to have time to get to those weapons or to create time and space for Josh Jacobs. So how confident are you in the development of this offensive line and their ability to protect the pocket and give him the time and space he needs to make the decisions and play his best game?
Are there any things more beautiful, Lindsay, than when an offensive line is working together? I mean, we're talking a symphony, a ballet, communication, energy, hustling down the field. There are a few things more beautiful than that, and I think that's what we're going to see again this year. The health of Trent Brown, obviously, a big X factor. Offensive coordinator Greg Olson telling us yesterday, look, he's on track, no setbacks. Of course, the starting right tackle, you guys know. I mean, Raider fans are as savvy as they come, but he played in only 11 games last season, so he missed the final four. I think that he's on track and ready to rock. So how much confidence? I mean, you look at Derek Carr and he oozes confidence, right? But where does that come from? Preparation. And he's also got some really smart, intelligent, high IQ and high character guys surrounding him, which certainly helps. I mean, in my 8 years in Philadelphia, I kind of joke about it. And given your background, Paul and Lindsay, you'll get it. I feel like it was a boot camp. And I saw a lot of good basketball, a lot of bad basketball, and a lot of good football and some really gritty football, right? So, I'm just excited now. I can kind of spot things a little bit quicker, perhaps. And I'm just really excited to see what Derek Carr can do this season. I think he was the most underrated QB last season, and he's poised to have another monster year this go around.
Great to be hanging out with Molly Sullivan here, the latest addition to the 8 News Now crew, Raiders beat reporter, and she'll be joining you every Sunday morning for sure, 8 a.m. with the Raiders Vegas Station pregame show. 8 News Now is where you can find her. You've worked with the Eagles Nation, and you've worked with the Raider Nation. These are two, I don't know, fan bases that seem like they collide in a number of places. And I put this example out there is, you know, on Twitter, literally from Eagles fans, just 2 days before the opener, the Eagles announced Carson Wentz has tested positive for being the best quarterback in the NFC East.
Oh my God.
I'm like, if that's not just bravado, that's bravado. So you've seen these two fan bases. Can you draw any parallels between the two?
Hey, Paul, you know how to push buttons.
I'm trying. Welcome back, Molly.
Yeah, kind of like Elliot Shore Parks. I mean, he's another guy you guys had on earlier in the show, and he was fun, cross paths with the Sixers and with the Eagles. But listen, I've been candid, and I stick to it. There's nothing better than Philadelphia sports fans. I will stay true to that, specifically with the Sixers and what I saw in terms of them just staying in the Philadelphia 76ers corner. Now, with the Eagles, obviously, there's nothing bigger than the National Football League. But I'm excited to see the Raiders because I've heard so much about this fan base. I obviously know Las Vegas perhaps better than anybody out there right now, other than Chris Matthews and Ron Futrell, who thankfully we have in our corner. And so I know what the two together as a partnership can do. Our city deserves this. They deserve this moment. It's a big deal, a historic deal. And I think that, the time is just right. The time is right. And I'm just excited to see where the Raiders take it, because certainly from an organizational standpoint, I mean, look at logistically, guys, what Mike Mayock was able to do with moving in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, I too did it. Not easy, but moving an entire franchise. We're not just talking about the players and the coaches, but, you know, their families. These are family guys. Derek Carr, his wife's pregnant, you know, like bigger than football. And they nailed everything. And it's just a classy organization. So in terms of parallels, Paul, I hate to go there because, you know, they're the same, but oh so different. But they're passionate, and they know their team better than anybody, and they expect their teams to fight. And I think that's what you're going to see on Sunday with the Las Vegas Raiders.
It's a lot fewer snowballs to chuck at Santa and boo him down here. You're absolutely correct. I don't necessarily agree with your love for the Philadelphia fandom, but that's okay. We'll get you off of that Kool-Aid and onto the stuff here. And speaking of Kool-Aid and a lot of excitement around a certain player on this team, Henry Ruggs III, the top pick this year, one of the best wide receivers, the fastest wide receiver in this year's draft. How many deep balls do you expect to be chucked to hit his way on Sunday? And please give me a reason why one of those shouldn't come on the opening play of the opening drive on Sunday against the Panthers.
Well, Lindsay, I think you've done your homework on this. I think you're running and gunning, but what happens if that doesn't go as planned? You know, that's kind of the thing, and especially even in our world, you stick to a strip, right? You want to pawn the Philly reporter on having the Kool-Aid, right? But if she doesn't bite, then where do you go? So I think with these guys and Derek Carr having these weapons, if the first play doesn't go as planned, I think you just got to trust that they put in the work. Like Derek said, you know, over the offseason, he'd be surprised if any other club in the National Football League put in more work together than the Las Vegas Raiders. So I think just relying on the work, regardless if it goes to Ruggs, because we know he is speed. I mean, listen, Mike Mayock made it quite clear, you know, what their offseason goal was going to be. So, yes, he'll be there, but if it doesn't work, you better have a plan B, and I think that's what the beauty of this organization is.
On air, you'll find her at 8 News Now, part of the Vegas Nation pregame show. Sunday mornings at CBS is where you'll find the most games. They have the game, 8 News Now, 10 o'clock, Raiders taking on Carolina. First ever game under the moniker of Las Vegas Raiders. We thought we were going to have a preseason with that distinction, but we won't. You'll be able to check it out again Sunday morning, opening on the road. And you can check her out there. Molly Sullivan here with the Playmakers. And as well, online, follow her like Lindsay and I did, Molly Sullivan TV. It's been great to get to know you, Molly. We love having you aboard. You know the door is always open for you to come back and hang out with us because, you know, we're good people.
Unless you lead with the Minnesota, you know, connection with what happened in Philly a couple years ago. Then no invites extended.
Hey, I get it, Lindsay. No Kool-Aid over here. Just the facts.
Right on. We're best friends already. I love it.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it, my man.
All right. Thank you so much. Molly Sullivan, Raiders reporter, 8 News Now. Welcome back to Las Vegas for her. Great to hang out with her. And again, you'll be able to catch the most Raiders games on CBS. Our partners over at 8 News Now, great to catch up with her. And you know she'll be back on with us sooner than later.
Oh, 100%. And like she said, it's all about coming full circle. How bizarre that she interned 18 years ago. Now she's back, and it's a whole new ball game here in this valley, isn't
right.
it, Paul?
Yeah, for sure. She comes with a reputation, too. She's been in some of the toughest locker rooms around the league, mm-hmm. especially covering in Philadelphia. So she definitely knows her NFL stuff, and we're glad to have her back. And, again, a close personal friend of the program now.
Exactly.
Coming up next, Saturday could be a strange day for Vegas Golden Knights fans if we get one specific announcement.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
I want to thank Molly Sullivan of 8 News Now for hanging out with us in the last segment. If you missed any part of that conversation, she definitely knows her Raiders stuff. Mm-hmm. You can do so by downloading the free radio.com app for your smartphone.
Free.
It is free from the Google Play Store, iTunes App Store. Put it on your smart device. And then to access the radio.com rewind feature, which allows you to listen back to the last 24 hours of programming. Programs, just favorite CBS Sports Radio 1140 by searching for it and then hitting the heart in the upper left-hand corner. The game 4 between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars is tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
What, so the series isn't over?
It is not, but they are down 2-1 and will need to win, obviously, 3 of 4. That's the simple math for them to do it. Robin Leonard took a puck off his knee late in game 3. Not quite sure what his status is. He was able to talk in the post game, and he was able to talk and kind of
and play
and was able to talk during today's pregame, shooting down any rumors that he has already agreed to a five-year deal with the Vegas Golden Knights.
It's not true.
Yeah.
No one's talked to him about injury. No one's talked to him or mentioned any sort of injury. So we're all assuming that Robin Leonard is going to start in net on Saturday for the Vegas Golden Knights. But, if he's hurt, there's an opportunity for the other goalie that we have seen between the pipes in the Vegas Golden Knights, Marc-Andre Fleury, to take goal on Saturday night if that happens. If that happens, the likelihood of his last appearance in goal, if the Vegas Golden Knights do not get out of the playoff round here, could be tomorrow night.
I suppose if in that reality, that alternate reality that you're drawing up, yep. But Leonard did address it in his post-game comments last night. It was, as a former goaltender, very familiar with the puck hitting the flesh without any pad to stop it in front. It was an exposed butterfly in the five hole, and he took it in. It just depends on where it hits you in the knee, but he was able to play. He talked about it after. It's like, it's fine. It's going to be a contusion. It probably hurts. As long as it doesn't hit like the nerve or obviously break any bones, like we're good to go. But if Marc-Andre Fleury sees the net again during these playoffs, it's probably going to be a one game. And that's probably might be the last one that he's in this uniform. But I honestly don't see right now, at least in the way that this series is shaping up, why you would move away from Robin Leonard. He gives you the best chance to win every night. That's what Peter DeBoer has said. That's what we've said. That's what you drive into the ground. And that was true of last night as well. That second period could have gotten out of their hands so much more than they were very lucky to leave that second period down 2-1. So it's Robin Leonard.
We keep seeing guys go back to the locker room on some minor hits, minor bumps and bruises, limping off the ice.
The playoffs.
I think who came off last night? I mean, he took a bad hit. Maybe it was Nosek. I can't remember.
Was it Sagan? We got slew-footed?
Yeah. I mean, so we're seeing a number of injuries that, you know, we're getting banged and bumped and bruised. No matter, even with the pause, when everyone kind of came back healthy, still the playoffs are an incredible grind.
100%.
And you know it. And the concern is right now that, you know, maybe the Knights have taken a few extra bumps and bruises because of how other teams have tried to target them a little bit more, knowing that they know that they have the target on their back. And right now, they're actually doing a little bit more chasing than they have been chased.
Right.
Because they got to get ahead of the Stars. Is that maybe some of the issue that's happening with the Knights right now? Is we've seen them kind of trudge through a game three and get off to that really just kind of slow game one, just kind of clunker?
Absolutely. Guys are hampered with things that they're banged up with. But that's the same for everyone. That's playoff hockey. I mean, I always kind of joke about if a team gets eliminated and you kind of watch their social media or their team for the week after, because you find out all the injuries that these players are playing with, and guys are playing with torn ACLs, blown cartilage, you know, dislocated AC joint. Like, this is what the playoff hockey mentality is, for better and a lot of times for worse, especially when we're talking about head injuries. But that's the thing. It's not a problem that's unique to you. You're going to have unique injuries, and you're going to have certain guys that might be more banged up than others that are way more disadvantageous for your team than it would be for another. But you got to fight through it, because that's the way it is. This is the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is the most prestigious grind of a playoff in professional sports. And I just don't know if VGK has enough gas right now. I mean, you can refill it before tomorrow. There are ways to refill. We talk about how to get momentum and good vibes back into your team. But right now, I don't think they have the gas in the tank to grind to the level that the Stars are, and the consistency that, because the Stars, that's their game. That's their MO, is to keep guys on the boards. We're going to beat you in the corners and make you beat us physically along those boards, whether it's in the offensive zone or the defensive zone. And when you're just thinking the game a little bit higher, you're just think of all those little pockets of energy that you're saving as well. And so they're going to have fresher legs. They're going to have more momentum. They're going to have more adrenaline going. And so it's a very tall task, as you said, to win the next 3 of 4. But you got to just move on to this game and focus it. I know, shift by shift. But they have a lot to focus in and hone in on. And it starts with every individual in that locker room. And it includes every single player, no matter what role they are. Because every single person can be better on that team right now.
We talked about how balanced this team has been in terms of getting scoring from every other place. And I was concerned going into Game 3 that they weren't seeing, you know, the traditional scorers, the Pacioretty's, the Stones, you know, get their moment and get their goals. And while Stone did get a goal last night, Shea Theodore had a goal too. His seventh.
He's like the only guy who scores goals.
His seventh of the playoffs. And while they got from the traditional contributors, they didn't get the extra stuff from the guys you didn't expect. And maybe that's been part of that recipe that's been working so well for the Golden Knights. That was the one. Again, you talk about those little teeny things. That might be one of those little things that the Knights need in a game four.
Yeah, and like we were kind of alluding to earlier in terms of team psychology and confidence, when you're Shea Theodore and you're everything, almost everything that you're putting on net is either a scoring chance or going in. But no one else is doing that. So you feel that added pressure to rise above yourself and to do more, to grip that stick a little bit tighter, to take things upon yourself. And you can do that for periods of time, but sooner or later, the bill is going to come due somewhere else in your game, and that's coming at the expense of his defensive game right now. And same, and it's affecting Alec Martinez right now as well. And it's not Shea's fault, because Shea literally brought us through the Vancouver series, as did Robin Leonard. But somebody has to pick up the rope. Other players have to figure out how to get that next little edge, that little bite that I think is missing, and just get angry. Because this team gets angry, but they get angry at the refs. They get angry at the player. I'm like, anger at yourself. Anger for not being the best version of yourself for your teammates at this current point in time. And it's everybody can be better in some way, shape, or form. And it's just that level of compete has to come up. The leadership on the Dallas Stars, the experience and the way that they're playing right now, you are the underdog from here on out. And that's not a very familiar place for this Golden Knights squad. So you're kind of learning and trying to execute on the fly, but that's what this moment calls for. This is where you find out if what you built was actually built what it said it was going to be used for.
Paul and Lindsay, the Playmakers here on this Football Friday, also talking some hockey as we do have a Game 4 coming up 24 hours from now between your Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. You and I have talked about just kind of the magnificence that has been Bishop, but we do have Anton Khudobin in goal for the Stars. And while he didn't sneak up on us like a Travis Demko did in the prior series, he has been playing some fairly good goal for Dallas. I can't imagine the Knights would underestimate him by any means, but it feels like they're getting caught a little bit off guard by his play.
Yeah, and the thing about Anton Khudobin, because he's a very capable and very good goaltender, but you also have to take into the fact that how good defensively the Stars are. It is a complete team defense, and by clogging up the middle, by relegating the Golden Knights to the outside, any goalie can keep those out of the net as long as you have a clear sight line, and that's where those little things add up, where the Knights weren't getting in front of the net and staying in front of the net and causing that chaos and taking away his eyes and causing him to back into his crease, which worked so well for him, or so well for them in game two. And they just, as I said, I think the last 5 minutes in last night's game, we saw that you can get Anton Khudobin a little bit too emotionally minded. And I've spoken about the importance of that stoicism as a goaltender. But that's the thing. They need to figure out how to solve Khudobin, but again, it's not about Demko. It's not about him. It's not about Khudobin. It's about the guys in the locker room, because you have to assume that he's going to give a best effort to stop the puck every time. Then you need to find a way to be that much better. That's it. And then you just do that every single second that you possibly can. And you got to want it, and you got to grind for it. And it's not fun. It's not easy. And it's not the way that they like to play hockey. And you're going to have to go down low and block shots and do all the not so fun stuff and go back to the locker room to go get stitched up and what have you. But this is where championships are won. And right now they need to figure out that identity themselves, that grit that they're missing, because if they don't, the series is over. They're robotic right now, and they're not mad enough, at least the way I would like them to be if I were in that locker room or on that coaching staff.
Golden Knights find themselves in a chase situation more than anything else here going into this Game 4. Golden Knights trailing the Stars now 2-1. Game 4 is on Saturday. There are no more back-to-backs, so they'll play Saturday, and then they'll play Friday again. This is the Western Conference. In the Eastern Conference, Tampa and the Islanders, they will have their Game 3 tonight, and Tampa starting to try to put their foot down on the Islanders and stub a few more toes and cut off a few more fingers as they're up 2-0. It seems like the Lightning, finally their destiny is coming true.
Yeah, but just look at how physical that series is, with bad hits and suspensions aside, but like how physical and how many fights have been. Like, both of those teams aren't exactly like fighting teams. When was the last time the Knights got in a fight? And I'm not advocating, but that comes with a certain type of energy and accountability, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's just enough pushing and shoving, but it never quite gets that far.
We don't have that fire. We don't have it right now. We got to refill. Otherwise, we're in a load of trouble really quickly.
Well, 24 hours from now, we'll see where it all lands us. The Golden Knights in Dallas in Game 4, 5 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC. And as the Knights in Dallas, and Knights, again, have to win three of their next four games in order to advance, and no announcements made on who's going to start in goal, and it seems like everyone's healthy, slightly distracted, but at least healthy.
Yeah, don't worry about who's in goal. They're going to get the job done. Worry about doing your job.
All right, coming up this weekend, we do have Saturday Sports Beat with Tony Cordasco coming up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, college football kicks off. We will have an ACC matchup on our kickoff weekend. It'll be Syracuse taking on number 18 North Carolina, the Mac Brown-led Tar Heels, and they are overwhelming favorites against Syracuse. That is at 9 o'clock on Saturday. We'll have Dodgers baseball tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, and then on Sunday, also NFL action, 10 a.m. It'll be Cleveland at Baltimore, and then at night, 5 o'clock, once again, Dodgers baseball. Full weekend of sports here on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Woo!
I want to thank Mark Bonilla for making things sound nice. She is Lindsey Brown. I am Paul Eihander. More sports equinoxes on the way. That's a wrap for the Playmakers for the week.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.